Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I told Brother Eric if I had a title for this message, it would be one of the two, either God's sovereign will or God's will versus man's will. Kind of what our lesson is talking about this morning, the will of God. Let's begin in verse 33 here. John chapter 6. I'm going to read down through verse 45. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never thirst, shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. There's some very important statements here that the Lord declared here. I have five statements from this reading here that I want to say a few things on this morning, the Lord willing, and I hope that He will not only help me, but that He will help you to maybe understand some things that I'm not that I don't declare clearly, plainly as they ought to be. But anyway, I'm gonna make a stab at it, and the Lord's will. So here in verse 6, we have the Lord wrote here. He said, "But I said unto you that ye have seen me and believed not." I'm wondering how many people that, and I don't think that the believer has, to any extent anyway, have read this scripture and thought, and the religious world do declare this, that thought that he's a failure, that he's not able to accomplish that which he came to do. But that's far from the truth, isn't it? That's far from the truth. These are not the words of a man that feels discouraged. Not at all. I'm convinced that this is a man that is not discouraged in the least. But on the contrary, he's not discouraged, is he? These men here in this chapter here, the Lord performed two miracles here. One in this chapter and one in chapter 5. But these people here that the Lord is talking about, they had seen him and seen his miracles that he had done, and what did the Lord say? He said, yet you don't believe. I've done all these miracles. He had one in chapter 5 where the man was sitting by the pool of Bethesda. And the Lord said, will thou be made whole? This man must have been a cripple because he said, I have no one to help me. One time a year, the angel would come down and stir the water, and the first one that was in the water, they were healed of whatever disease that they had. And he told the Lord, says, I have no one to help me. So evidently he couldn't walk. And the Lord said, told him, take up your bed and walk. And he did, didn't he? The Lord, he didn't have to get in the water. Just the Lord commanding him to walk was all he needed. And then in chapter 6, we have another miracle where the Lord, they was 5,000 men, the scripture says, and he fed them with 5 barley loaves. And I just caught this the other day when I was reading it again. And 2 small fishes. You know, the Lord said about Jonah that he created a great fish to swallow Jonah. But here the Lord, and I really don't know what the significance is here, but he said that he had 2 small fishes and he fed 5,000 men. And not only that, when he got done, what was it? I think he said they took up 12 basketfuls that was left over, and everybody had eaten till they got full. And these men here had saw this, and yet the Lord said, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. You do not believe. Is not that the religious man of our day? Is that not them? These men, the Lord said that in 36th there, said, you have seen me, but you believe not. And I say that the men of our day, they have read this word, and yet they don't believe. They don't believe. They've always. I've had it to happen to me different times. You talk to them and you tell them what the scripture says, and what do? They say, but. And we know what comes after that. Anytime anybody has said something and used the word but, they're fixing to say just the opposite of what was said. And that's what they're saying about the scripture. The scripture says this. Well, I say but. You're fixing to tell me something just the opposite of the scriptures. And to me, that's not worth saying, is it? If it's not thus saith the Lord, then no, we don't want that. There is only one reason. That's the reason that the Lord used this scripture here in verse 36. You believe not. You've seen me, he said. You've seen me. You've seen my miracles. You've seen me heal diseases, and yet you don't believe. We're no different, are we? Apart from the grace of God, every one of us that's looking to Jesus Christ, we're no different, are we? Who makes us to differ? Who makes the Lord asked that question in I think it's in 1 Corinthians. Who maketh thee to differ? God does, doesn't he? We don't make ourselves to differ. What have I have, the scripture said there. What do I have that I've not received? Nothing. All that I've received, all that I have has come from the Lord. We don't have nothing. We're a bunch of nobodies, aren't we? People don't like that. But I mean, I love it myself because I know it's what I am. I'm a nobody. And the Lord told these people here, and I thought, what an awful accusation, truthful accusation he brought against them. You have seen me, and yet you don't believe. But the Lord Jesus, he is not discouraged because man does not believe. If that was the case, he'd be discouraged all the time, wouldn't he? He'd be discouraged all the time. His success does not depend upon the will of God, upon the will of man, but upon God's will. And that's what he's looking to, isn't he? He's trusting his Father. He's trusting his Father. And the first statement that I want to talk about this morning is found in John in 6:44. I want to go over there and start. The Lord said here in John 6:44, no man, without exception, no man can come to me. No man can. That means that man does not have the ability to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't have the ability. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come. Now coming and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is one and the same thing. I mean, we don't come unless we believe. And if we believe, if we truly believe, we're going to come, aren't we? We're going to come. No man can come and no man can believe except it be given him of my Father. That's what the Lord is telling us here in verse 44. You can't do it unless the Father draw him, he said. How are we going to come? When will we come? A man must be drawn by the Father or else he will not come. He will not come. He says you can't, doesn't he? No man can. No man can. Over back in John 5:40, the Lord said, you will not. You will not come to me that you might have life. A man can't come and a man won't come unless God draws him, except the Father draws him. We must be drawn to the Father, drawn by the Father, or we will not come. We will not come. A man won't come and he can't come. That's what the Scripture tells us, isn't it? He won't come and he can't come. Why? Because the Word of God tells us again in Ephesians 2:1 that we are dead in trespasses and sin. He said there, you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. So evidently man's dead, isn't he? Man say we're not dead. Well, the Lord said he quickened us. And we were in sin. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. And we oughtn't to let anyone. So many religious people think different today. That you can just, that a man can just of his own free will, anytime, any place, just come to Christ. It's not so. It's not so. It's not so. We must be drawn by the Father, or we will not come. It's been asked, I'm sure, I don't think I've had it asked of me. Men have made the statement, how dead is dead? I would answer it, I would answer the question with a question. How dead is the man that's in the grave? That's laying out there in the cemetery. How dead is he? You think he could respond to anything? No, he can't, can he? He can't. Neither can a man come to Christ by his own will. Why? It told us there in Ephesians 2:1. He's dead. He's not dead physically. He can walk around, he can talk. But he's dead spiritually. He can't come to Christ. He cannot. He will not. He don't want to. He has no desire to come. He must be quickened or made alive. Then and only then will one come to Jesus Christ. Second question, or statement, I guess I should say, is in John 37. All that the Father giveth me. Not everybody. He set some qualifications forth here, didn't he? All that the Father giveth me. See, all people are not given to the Son. All people are not. I know people don't like that, but it's the Word of God, isn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come. Not might come. Maybe they come. They shall come. They shall come. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We was talking about verse 36 there, where some people may think the Lord is discouraged and that he's a failure. And I know that some people believe that, but he's not. But this statement, no doubt, caused the heart of the Lord Jesus to rejoice. Why? Because the Father said here, all that the Father giveth me shall come. The Lord knew that someone was going to come to him. He knew that someone was going to come to him. They shall, what a profound statement. They shall come, they will come, and they must come. They must. Everyone that the Father gave Jesus Christ to before the world began will come to him. And I'm sure that the Lord Jesus rejoiced in this very fact. That not only, no doubt, rejoices, that rejoices my heart. That rejoices my heart. They shall come. Not just maybe, but they shall come. And I was thinking, just maybe, I'm one of them that shall come. One of them. One of the they that come. The elect belonged to the Father before the world began. And he gave them all. Just the elect. Just the elect. He gave them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in time, he elected them in eternity. But they're coming in time, aren't they? They shall come. They shall come in time. Some may say, and I'm sure that they have, maybe some are not willing to come. But oh yes, they will be. The Lord told us that too. In Psalm 110 verse 3. Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. They're going to come. If God did not make them willing, they would never come. Never come. That's what the Lord said in John 5:40. You will not come to me. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Man thinks he has a free will, and he does to a certain extent, but their will is born by in bondage to their own nature that they are. And that's nothing but sin. If a man wants his free will, I kind of thought that was hit there in John 5:40. You will not come. That's your will. That's a man's will by nature. You will not come. You will not come. But bless God, he makes us willing to come, don't he? He makes his people willing to come. And if a man comes, and they will, all the elect, if a man comes, it's because God has intervened and drawn that man to him. I want you to turn to these verses here with me. I want to read some in John chapter 12 and then over in Romans. I know these verses here probably cause a religious man to just grind their teeth, as you might say, and be mad. But this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. John chapter 12 and beginning of verse 35. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Here we have more people don't believe on the Lord. They've seen what he'd done. But the next verse tells us why they done that. They seen his miracles, but they didn't believe on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see. This is what God has done. Don't be mad at me. Take it up with the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. That they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. The Lord has blinded some people, hasn't he? And he's leaving them in their blindness. Now over in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Beginning at read verse 1 through 8. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot you not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercessions to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men which have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. The Lord has always had a remnant, hadn't he? I mean, it may have been very small at times, but the Lord has always had a people in this world that trusted in him, that looked to him. Even so then, at this present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumbering eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. And I say concerning these verses, as our pastor said when he was teaching in Romans 9, what do you do with that? You believe it. You just believe it. It's the Word of God. I would just tell the men, if they didn't want it, you know, just take your scissors and cut it out. You don't believe that verse? Cut it out. You know? See what you got left when you get done. It's the Word of the Lord, and we need to believe it only. It is the sovereign mercy of a holy God if a man is made willing to come. Man, I'm so thankful that the Lord made me willing, caused me to come. And the reason the Lord can do this, in John 17:2, we find these words, "As thou hast given him power," talking about the Lord Jesus, "as thou hast given him power over all flesh," not just some flesh, he's given him power over all flesh. Why? "That he should give eternal life unto as many as he has given him." If a man or woman does not believe and embrace these truths, it's because God has left them to themselves. That's what the Lord done there, these people there in John 12 and Romans 11. All he's got to do to a man is just leave him to himself. He don't want to be, a man by nature doesn't want anything to do with a holy God anyway. Why? For one reason, he exposes what he is. He exposes his sins. The light exposes what's in darkness, doesn't it? They won't come. You will not come to me. You will not, and you cannot. And the third thing we see here, statement, is in John 39. John 6:39, back in our lesson here. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me," and here's another qualification in it. He's a qualifying who's coming to him. "That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Does this sound like a Jesus that's failing? Does this sound like one that's wanting to and can't because men have got his hands tied? That's blasphemy to say such a thing, I think, about the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they don't. He's not helpless. He's not the helpless Jesus that religious are preaching today. These statements that I'm talking about this morning, there's probably no other church anywhere near that believes what these statements right here says. They won't have them. They won't have. Why? For one reason, it takes them out of the picture. It puts Christ in the forefront, and they got to get behind. And as I heard an old preacher say, religious man does not like it when you pull the throttle back on him. Put him back here behind Christ. He don't like that. They want the preeminence. They want the preeminence. Well, they're not going to get it. The Lord said, "I will not share my glory with another." He won't do it, will he? So he's not a helpless Jesus, wanting to and can't, trying to and failing. Far from it. There again we have a scripture concerning this. Isaiah 42 and verse 4. "He shall not fail." That sounds like a bunch of religious people lying on the Lord to me. "He shall not fail." Not only that, he said, "nor be discouraged." In verse 38, we see it was the Father that sent him, and it was the will of the Father that sent him. God not only sent the Lord, but it was his will to send him. Then in verse 39, we see what the Father's will is. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. You reckon the Lord's going to fail? You reckon he's going to lose just one that the Father gave him? No, I don't think so. I believe that with all of my heart, that every one that the Father gave the Son to redeem, to put their sin away, they're going to be in God's heaven someday. Every one of them. Many have already made that journey. Some are here now that's saved. And I'm satisfied that there's more that the Father has given the Son to be saved. I believe that if all those were already saved that the Father gave the Son, the church would have no reason to be here, would it? So the Lord still has a people out there that he's gonna redeem. In verse 39, we see that what the Father is, that of all which he hath given me, that I should lose nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, what kind of God do we worship? We worship a God that worketh all things, no exception, all things after the counsel of his own will. Romans 9:16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, it is nor of him that runneth, but who is it of? It's of God that showeth mercy. It's of God that showeth mercy. No man, without exception, is going to find Christ until he has been given strength, will of mind, and grace to do so, and until he is brought by the sovereign God, by the power of a sovereign God himself. That's when he'll come, when he's made willing to come. In Acts 17:28, the scripture tells us that in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him we live and we move and we have our being. They were given to Christ in eternity, and in time, everyone's going to come. They're going to come. The Father's will be done. It will be done. And the fourth statement in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath learned and hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. There we find our qualifications again, don't we? The ones that has heard and has learned of the Father, that's the one that's going to come. Every man that hath heard and hath learned, come. The Almighty God is working a work in the hearts of those that he gave his Father. And they're going to come. They know the Lord. Why? Because the Father has given them a heart to know him. We don't know him on our own. I mean, we're just... I know that I'm depraved. But I don't know it as well as I'd like to. The Lord must do everything for us, buddy. Any thoughts that I have of him, it's him. I got to give him the glory for it. Anything that I'm able to say to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't come from me, it comes from him. But these people that the Father gave the Son, they were in bondage to Satan and sin. But what's going to happen when the Father says, come? Are they going to say, no, I don't think I want to. Maybe tomorrow. No, they will come. When he says come, they will come. God spoke this world into existence. Took nothing and made this world. So when he says to a sinner, come, you reckon he won't come? I kind of think he will. I think he will. He'll come. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I love the wills and the shalls in the Word of God. That makes it a positive thing, doesn't it? When they are taught and learned of the Father, our Father says, they will come to Christ. They will come to Christ. They hear the voice of the Son of God. And what do? They come. They come. There is power in that voice, isn't there? And they are made willing. Made willing. Thank God for making us willing. Convincing me to believe on His darling Son. They all shall be taught of God. They all, no doubt. This all here, no doubt, is the elect. Is those that the Father has given His dear Son. In the fifth statement we see here, John 6:40. John 6:40. And this is the will. Have you noticed these scriptures are just full of the will of the Father? I'm glad of that. I'm so glad of that. You talk about will. Man, that's the will I want to be in. It's the will. This is the will of Him that has sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up. The Lord says this, I will raise him up three times in these verses here that we read. Verse 39 and 40 and verse 44. Raise it up at the last day. In John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died, the Lord told Martha, He said, thy brother shall rise again. And in verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. She believed this, didn't she? When the Lord said, I will raise him up at the last day, she believed this. Martha believed what the Lord said. I will raise him up at the last day. I've never witnessed anyone being raised from the dead, and I'm sure you folks would say the same thing. But I believe that the Lord will do what He said here. I will raise him up. He's going to raise us up, isn't He? He's not going to leave us in the grave. He's going to raise us up in that last day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 54, we find these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's some that's going to be still alive, I think, when the Lord comes. I think that's what He's saying here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We all shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now that's pretty fast. The people that's supposed to know anything tell me that that's between 100 and 150 milliseconds. And I still don't understand how fast that is. But that's fast. That's how the Lord's going to come here. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, how? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death will have no more power over swelling. No more power. When the Lord raises us up, raises us up out of the grave. To be caught up into the air. To forever, forever, forever be with Him. Well, may the Lord bless that to your hearts. If you stand, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank you for your attention. Our Father in heaven, we come before you again this morning. Lord, thanking you for our blessed Redeemer has come down to the sin-cursed world to go to a cruel and rugged cross, took the sins of his people to himself, bore them in his own body on the tree, bore them away, cast them into that sea of forgetfulness, cast them behind his back, never to be remembered against us anymore. Oh Lord, thank you for him. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us to your dear Son who loved us and gave himself for us. We bless you for our time together. Lord, I pray that you would take the few remarks that we try to make and bless this dear people's heart. Lord, I trust that I pointed them to Christ and what he's done for his people and is doing. Keep us, we pray. Bring us back at your next appointed time. We bless you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in his blessed name we ask it. Amen. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Amen. Our pastor said he'd be back, I reckon. If he don't, we're in trouble.